Hi guys, welcome back to Fast Track Forum. So we're going to talk about the Mexico Grand Prix, you know, because we both have a lot to say about this one.
No, I don't even, let's just say an emotional roller coaster weekend. It started on a high for me because obviously Pato got to drive in free practice one and I watched it. So that was like, I think the only good-ish part of my weekend was that we started off on a high. It was perfect. Really wish they would have let him push more and like actually show his potential, but obviously I know they're not going to let that because it's Lando's car and they don't want to risk messing up Lando's car. How like Kimi kind of messed up whose car did Lewis's car when he crashed, I think.
He drove Lewis's free practice one.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's like, I understand why they didn't let him. I was kind of sad. I was like, I wish, you know, but I was like, free practice one was interesting though, because what was like that first red flag that we got? Because I didn't even really understand, because I kind of looked away for a second and then I saw the replay and they were showing it on Kimi and I was like, what did Kimi do? Like,
There was, so I'm guessing that there was debris like on the track and Kimi kind of just like went over it, or there was something wrong. There was something on the track that ruined like the floor. What is it called? The bottom of the car.
yeah, there's like a specific term for it. Oh my god, I'm blanking on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And so because there was something on the track, it got caught or something like that, and pieces of the car went everywhere after that. So that's why there was a red flag. And that was when I texted you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love Kimi Antonelli, but I don't think he's ready to be in F1. And this practice and the one in Monza, did he go in Monza?
He went in another one. I just don't remember which one it was, but
yeah, he went to another one and he got into a crash and he was driving George's car that day. So yeah, that's just my little spiel on that. I love Kimi so much, but I think he needs another year in F2 before he gets into an F1 seat. Because obviously in F1 history, we've known when we pull drivers that show potential way too early and put them in an F1 seat, they don't tend to perform to their fullest potential in that F1 seat. And it just breaks and ruins their confidence. That's exactly what happened with Alex Albon with the Red Bull seat all those years ago. And then it happened to Logan this past year. So yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that right now.
But yeah, I remember when you texted me that and I literally told you, I was like, it's going to be another Logan. But I also feel like it's because of, I think it's the Max effect. I feel like everyone's trying to replicate what Red Bull did with Max, bringing him up and having like the success. But I feel like what teams don't understand is every driver is very different. Because I think Max was like 17, wasn't he? Or like he was something. He was like the youngest driver to be in like one. And then they made the rule about like that, which I think was great. Because I'm like, these drivers are so young. Like, I feel like at the end of the day, people forget. Like, my sister brought it up to me. She's like, I can't believe me and Kimi are the same age. And I was like, I forget. Kimi's only just barely turned 18. Like, this is wild. And he's going up to F1, driving with people, like, with the likes of, like, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso. Who, did you see that thing where they posted on F1, the graphic, the, like, Fernando Alonso's 40th race? And, like, where all the drivers were when he raced his first race? Some of them weren't even born yet. Like, it is wild to think that, of how young they came up.
Yeah, it was, like, it was Oscar, Liam, and Franco. Those were the three cars that were not born yet when Fernando debuted, which is wild, actually.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I know a lot of people are going to be, like, not favorites or, like, our opinion of saying Kimi should probably stay another year in F2, like, because I get it. Everybody wants new drivers. We love our rookies. We love giving other drivers their experience, but I'm like, don't put someone who's not ready. Like, there's other drivers who I feel like are more, I don't know how to say, like, qualified, I guess, to be, like, pulled up already.
Yeah, I would go with qualified too, just because, I don't know, when you're older, I feel like age definitely does help a lot, because it's like you said, Kimi just turned 18, so he's still young. He still has that very young mentality, and technically, you're still a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
He's still a teenager, so his brain isn't really fully developed. Obviously, he's going to make mistakes, because that's what being a teenager is, being able to make mistakes, but to learn from them when you're older, when you're an adult. Yeah, I hope people can see where we're coming from. But again, these are our opinions. So if anyone else has different opinions, we'll respect them too. But for now, we both say that Kimi should spend another year in F2, at least another year, before he gets into that Mercedes seat. But I don't know, maybe they'll prove us wrong. when the 2025 season comes. So we'll see.
No, yeah, I was like, because I do feel like he will do good once he has like practice. Because maybe we are being a little too hard on him because he's only driven like not that much. So maybe he will prove us wrong. I'm really hoping he does prove us wrong and it's not another like Logan situation. Because if it is, I think it'll break me. Like it will hurt me to see that happen.
No, I being a Logan Sargent defender is a full-time job at this point because who was it? There was someone in F1, one of the commentators, I believe. I think it was Robert or something. I don't know. But they said that we had like the best drivers in Formula One. We had the best 20 drivers in Formula One. And this one guy was like, "No, we don't, because we had Logan Sargeant last year," or something like that. I was like, "Poor Logan. I swear to God, I will defend that man to the day that I die. It was not his fault."
Yeah, no, that's rough.
Tears were shed as soon as I heard that. The disrespect Logan still gets, even when he's not in Formula One, is
Oh, for
insane.
real. I was like, I feel like, I don't know. I guess it doesn't also help that Franco's been doing amazing, which honestly, I had never seen, like, I didn't watch Franco before he went into like F1. And I'm like, am I low key slowly starting to become a Franco stan? Like, I love the sass of this man. Like, I just love him. Like, I'm becoming a low key Franco stan. Like, what is happening?
I love Franco so much. But did you see people comparing Logan and Franco's relationship with Alex specifically? Because Alex was always out qualifying Logan because Logan obviously was not ready to be in Formula One. So it kind of affected his mentality. So Alex was always Williams' star boy, you know? And then all of a sudden, Logan gets dropped. Franco comes into the picture, and Franco is actually competing with Alex. And Franco's doing a really good job of being in that F1 car, the Williams car. So Franco is not making Alex seem like he's the Williams star boy. So like people are saying that his seat, Alex's seat, may or may not be secure at this point, or something like that.
I think people need to understand there are contracts, and I feel like people are like, oh, well, people like that, but I'm like, there is contracts. I don't think Alex is losing his seat because there is contracts in place, and I guess people don't really understand like a contract. Because I saw it too, and I was like, guys, I'm like, a contract still is valid for something. There's just clauses in their contracts, and I don't think that just because Franco's like, maybe he's gonna be an option, because obviously we all know Carlos isn't gonna stick with Williams, so maybe Franco is like starting to look like an option once Carlos leaves. Because I'm sure Carlos, the second he gets a better offer, he's leaving Williams. No offense to Williams.
No, you're right. You're definitely right. Which I feel like Carlos is going to leave Williams as soon as Stake becomes Audi because, you know, the whole connection between the Sainz family and Audi. As soon as they officially become Audi, Carlos is leaving Williams and is joining them. Mark my words, that's exactly what's going to happen
Well, I mean, also
because.
contract, wasn't it with Williams? They said his contract also, if he got a better offer, he was allowed to leave. Or like, am I mistaken? Didn't they say that? Like, wasn't there like rumors about that?
I think that was a rumor. I don't think that was actually confirmed. Because Carlos really only had two choices. Well, technically, he only had three: Mercedes or Williams or Audi, but it's still stake until at least another year. So I knew he wasn't going to do that because there's no way Carlos would drive that far
Dude,
because
that car is.
they haven't even scored a point yet.
They haven't, and it's just depressing watching them. Like, I think at one point I saw Bottas was like in 10th and something, and I was celebrating that. I was like, oh my God, is Stake gonna get a point? And then he dropped, and I was like, never mind, never mind. I think
Yeah.
it was a good like 3, 4, 5 laps he was in like P10, and then he was no longer in P10, and I was like, okay, never mind. I was like, I got excited for no reason. They're literally like, they are in the trenches. Like, Bottas and Zhou really need to get, like, someone needs to pray for them. They're in the trenches right now.
They really are.
But that the weekend started high, and then we could just go straight to quali because that made me cry. Having both Oscar and Checo out in the first in Q1, I was like, bye. Like, literally, I was done. Once that happened, I was like, I'm done. Like,
Yeah, I was so upset. I mostly felt bad for Checo because this is his home Grand Prix and he hasn't won it yet. And it just makes me really sad. I need to see Checo win his home Grand Prix 1 year, okay?
I do too, because him and Piastri getting out, I was like, I don't understand. Because I'm like, their cars really must be terrible. Because how is Max and Lando, like, really, their cars, like, if they're supposedly equal machinery, the same, why are they doing better than the other two? Because I know you're a Lando fan. I'm so sorry, but I think Oscar arguably is the better driver than Lando.
I will agree with that. I love Lando, but I do think Oscar is a better driver, which is hard for me to say, but I think my cousin and I had a conversation about this too, because my cousin's favorite driver is Oscar. And I asked him why his favorite driver was Oscar. And he said, well, it's because Oscar definitely shows potential. He doesn't care. He has that I don't care mentality. He can control the car actually pretty well, especially for his age too. Like he has a grip on that car. And some people say that Oscar's gonna win a driver's championship before Lando does. And I hope that it doesn't actually happen, but I have a feeling it is going to happen.
You see, I don't know if it will because Lando is McLaren's like golden boy, and like I said, their car is obviously not the same, and they're gonna favorite Lando to giving him the upgrades first, like the better car than Oscar. Because I'm assuming that's what happened in Mexico, that Max and Lando had the better like stuff because they're fighting for a world championship, both of them, in a sense. So I'm assuming they got the better upgrades than like Checo and Oscar. That's why they were out in Q1. Because I'm like, there's no way. I was like, this is rough, like watching it.
I still don't really know what happened as to why they all kind of just didn't make it out of Q1. What else happened in quali?
Well, Yuki crashed in Q2, which he honestly, it was funny because I was like, I think Liam was gonna go on a flying lap, and I was like, he really said my teammate's not gonna out-qualify me, so he crashed, so he took technically him and Liam out of the contention of going into Q3. So I was like, that was funny to me because I'm like, he took them out, and seeing who was in Q1 was interesting to me because we had both the Haases, which I was like in love with seeing my Haases there, and then we had Alex Albon, I believe, right? No, it was who was one of the Williams was there. Yeah, it
I
was.
think it was Alex,
Yeah, because I
yeah.
think Franco also was out in Q1, which I saw a lot of people being like, how did we get our Hispanic people out in like Q1 at the Mexican Grand Prix? Like Checo and Franco, like this is rough for us Hispanics. But yeah, I was like, it was an interesting Q3 to see all those people. It was like both the Ferraris, Lando, Max, both the Mercedes, and then both the Haases, and then Alex.
I mean, Carlos did a fantastic job this whole entire weekend, even in all 3 practices. But as much as I love Carlos, I love him so much. My cousin, lo my other cousin, not the one that I was talking about before, absolutely loves Carlos. It just does not sit right with me that a Spaniard.
That's what I
So
was saying. Oh my God, that's what I said. I literally was like, oh, it didn't sit right with me either, but I was like, whatever, it's fine. I saw a lot of people actually on Twitter writing the like, oh, the Spaniards conquered Mexico or colonized Mexico again or something like that. And I was like, guys, why? Like, stop. Like, no. No, and no. But I do feel bad for Carlos because did you see, like, after he got pole, how, like, nobody was there from Ferrari? I think only one person congratulated him. And I was like, this poor man has given everything to his team, and clearly they don't care about him.
it reminded me of Lewis being in third place in Singapore last year.
Yeah.
And it was so sad to just watch. I hate it when teams do that. It's like, yeah, you guys know that he's gonna leave next year, which was their decision, by the way, your decision to have Lewis be take the second seat, really, and kick Carlos out. And after everything that man has done for you guys, you guys couldn't have congratulated him on his first pole of this season.
No, for real.
It was
It
just heartbreaking.
was heartbreaking to see. And then on another race, like we said, that was, I don't even, oh, the race, like just reliving it is crazy because I was watching it and the first crash, I was like, oh my God, I was terrified because I was at the back of the grid and I was like, please don't be Checo again in corner one like it was last year. Like it was giving me major flashbacks. And I was like, please tell me it's not Checo. And then it was Yuki and Albon. And I was like, okay, good. I was like, we're good. Like I could breathe. He made it past lap one. But that crash was a little crazy. I felt so bad for Yuki. I was like, poor Yuki. He doesn't deserve it. Neither did Albon, honestly.
I thought the exact same thing actually in turn one. It's always turn one, and it's always the exact same crash that basically happens. Because exactly what happened to Checo last year. It was just really sad. And I did feel bad for Yuki because Yuki just did not have a really great weekend, anyways. And that was just a cherry on top for him. And Alex ended up retiring too because of it.
He did. And then who else retired? Who? Oh,
Fernando.
Fernando on his 400th race. But that was because of car issues. It wasn't even because he crashed or anything. Like, it was literally like, I just hear them like, oh, retire the car. And I was like, sir, I was like, why is Fernando Alonso retiring on his 400th race? Like, this man's in the trenches too.
That's what I thought. I said to myself, you guys know that this is Fernando's 400th race. So why not make sure that you guys give him a good car so that he can finish the race? That was really heartbreaking too. I was like upset for Fernando. What else happened in the race? Oh, the whole Lando and Max fight and the
The
whole
20-second penalty. Oh my God. Dude, when I saw that, I was like, okay, I was like, I think it's a little aggressive, don't you think? Like 20 seconds, man. I'm like, there's other drivers who have done the same thing, but I think it's just FIA trying to prove, make a point that like, oh, we don't favorite Max and Red Bull, so we're just gonna hit this man with 20 seconds. And Max was like, that's impressive.
20 seconds.
He's like, that's quite impressive. And everybody, like the radios that everyone was saying, like when they told, like Mercedes told George, and George was like, wow, like 20 seconds. And to still end up in P6,
Impressive.
and to still end up in P6, I was like, you know what? It's okay. I was like, that just proves what great of a driver Max is to have a 20-second penalty, still end up P6. I'm like, okay, like this man clearly could care. 'Cause did you see his interview afterwards with like, would you have done anything different? He's like, I would have taken a drink. And I was like,
I was actually gonna bring that up. That man is so unserious. He does not care. And I absolutely love him for it. I love Max. He's so funny. To be honest, I would have had the exact same reaction too if I were in his position. I'm like, yeah, give me a drink. I could have taken a whole ass nap.
dude, that it felt like an eternity watching it, just like watching the mechanics there. I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is it was a rough day. If you were a Red Bull fan like me, it was a rough day to start off with Checo's false start. And I was like, it like he said, it was a good start, but apparently he wasn't in the box correctly. I guess he had like overshot it maybe a little or something like that. So he got his 5 second penalty. And I was like, great. And then he was up to P11. And I was like, this man is driving his heart out, like overtaking everybody. And I was like, he's doing so good. And his little fight with Liam Lawson, like, I've never been a certified hater to anyone, but I think that weekend I became a certified Liam Lawson hater. Like, I'm sorry, because I know maybe it's just me being like such a huge Checo fan. Like, the whole collision and everything, I was like, I think it could have been avoided. I don't know. That like basically ruined Checo's like whole thing because he had a whole in his car. So after I was like, there's no way that he's recovering. He's just done. And I was like, at his home week, like his home race, like guys.
The whole Checo and Liam beef this winter weekend was so funny to me because karma eventually got Liam
Oh yeah.
back.
I was like, that is why I think I'm a Franco fan. I was like, thank you, Franco. I was like, you did the Lord's work with that one.
What else? Oh, Christian Horner came with goddamn receipts. You know that meme where it's like Toto's like, I have it printed out. Christian Horner actually had it printed out because he was trying. Did you see the tweet where Christian had the actual data from the cars like printed out and he was trying to reason with them? Because I guess after Max getting the whole 20-second penalty, and people are saying that the reason why he got the 20-second penalty is because of what happened in Austin, basically. And so because of that, the FIA is looking back at the penalties given to Lando and all and everything that happened in Austin like over again. They're giving that a second look. And so Christian Horner came to a meeting with all the data printed out in order to prove that they were in the right and not McLaren.
You know, it's wild that they're still talking about it. I'm like, it's fine, but I don't know. I was like, everyone's little side beefs literally this weekend. I'm like, it's what I live for. I love unhinged drivers. Like, don't get me wrong, I love unhinged drivers, but some of them I'm just like, we could tone it down a bit, right?
Yeah, my favorite. Did you see that Nico Hülkenberg got tacos after the race?
I mean, well deserved. Haas was in the points, guys. We got double Haas points again. Like,
He's so unserious. Like that's all he was there for, just the tacos.
honestly, I think a lot of the drivers were literally just for the tacos. Because did you see Valtteri? He was like out here enjoying his like Michelin star tacos.
Yes, before the race weekend. Like he was there early. Yep, I saw that too. I think the drivers absolutely love the Mexico Grand Prix. I think this is their favorite one.
Oh yeah, because like everything about it is just such a spectacle. Like it's so beautiful, and like I don't know. I was like looking at the drivers walk in, and I was like, this is crazy. Like Charles in a mariachi fit was. I was like, I'm not really a Charles Leclerc fan, but I was like, this photo. Because you even texted me like, did you see his helmet reveal? And I watched it, and I was like, I kind of like this. I was like, this is actually kind of nice.
I'm not the biggest Charles Leclerc fan either, but sometimes I can vibe with him. especially for this weekend and what he did. I absolutely love him for it.
Oh yeah, it was great. Like I loved everybody's helmets, like the ones that they were bringing out from Mexico. They were really nice. Pierre's was really cute. I liked Checo's. It had like the little Lucha Libre mask on it. I liked that one. There was another helmet that I thought was nice. Oh my God, who else had a helmet? Obviously Charles's helmet. I liked Fernando's helmet. His like all his races and stuff. That was really nice. It had nothing to do with the Mexico GP, but I love that he did that for his 400th race.
The fan zone, I think it was the fan zone, but do you see the little sugar
Oh my God, yeah.
helmet that they had the drivers wear? I thought that was so cute. I absolutely loved that too.
Oh, that was adorable. I love that too. I don't know, but yeah, this weekend, roller coaster for me. I don't know if you felt the same way, because I'm like, Lando ended up in what, P3?
Two.
Oh, that's right, because Charles had his little like mess up at the end. That's right. I thought he was gonna crash, not gonna lie.
I thought he was gonna crash too, which is why sometimes Charles really impresses me, especially in that moment when he almost crashed. But he had an incredible control on the car. So that was like hella impressive. And I was so glad that he did not get in a crash because that would have been bad.
No, yeah, I would have. Because, like, for Ferrari, now they're second in the Constructors' Championship.
Yes, which is such a huge thing. Oh my God. Forgot what they said. I think Ferrari hasn't won the Constructors' Championship since 2005, 2015.
Yeah, I heard it's been a minute since they won. But
Yeah.
also,
But it's been a really long minute for McLaren because McLaren hasn't won it since the 19 somethings.
I was telling my sister, I was like, I know Red Bull doesn't care anymore about the constructor, and that's because they want more wind tunnel time. Because if you guys don't know, wind tunnel time is based off of like where you stand in the constructors. If you win, you get the least amount of time. And obviously, Sauber, because they have no points, they're dead last, they're gonna get the most amount of time in the wind tunnel. And since Red Bull's car is like really bad, I think they want more wind tunnel time. Because obviously Mercedes is not going to catch up to them in the points. There's like, it's mathematically not possible. So them ending third, I think, would be best case scenario for them for wind tunnel time. Because that means McLaren and Ferrari are going to have significantly less time than them to improve their car. So as a Red Bull fan, I'm like, oh, it sucks that we're like losing the constructor after winning it so many years in a row. But I'm like, you know what? More wind tunnel time sounds more ideal than having least wind tunnel time to get a better car. Because this car, I'm done with this car. This car needs to leave. It's like Mercedes fans last year when they were done with their tractor. I'm done with my tractor. Like, get rid of this tractor, please, and thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Even though McLaren's my number one team, I love Red Bull, I love Checo, and I love Max. Don't like Christian Horner, but I'm so glad they're gonna get rid of the car. I'm so ready for it. Because I said it last year with Mercedes and the W14. I absolutely hated that car. Absolutely hated that tractor. And I was just like, get Lewis Hamilton out of the car because I'm a huge Lewis Hamilton girly. So that's how I feel about both Max and Checo with this car. Get them out of this car,
No,
please.
for real. They're in the trenches, because I'm like, it's just rough watching them weekend after weekend. I'm like, what is happening? Like, I was so used to being like, oh, we're winning, we're at the top, and I'm just like, oh God. I was like, this is like rough.
Especially for Checo, because people, no matter what, there's always going to be hate, but we all know that it's not Checo's fault and it's just the car, but people can't seem to comprehend that, so they still give Checo hate, saying that he's a really bad driver. It's like, no, guys, it's the car.
No, yeah. And then I was like, I don't know if any other driver would have been able to do better in that car. People are like, oh, this person, like, would be able to do better. And they're saying, like, bring Daniel Ricciardo back. And I'm like, love Danny Ric, but I don't think he would have been able to do better in that car. Like, he kind of struggled with the RB. So I'm like, imagine this Red Bull car that sucks too.
And I love Daniel Ricciardo so much, but no, do not replace him with Checo.
I was like, do not put him in this car, because this car is not it. But I don't know. All I know is we have Brazil next week, right?
Yes, we do. And I'm so excited for that one. It's also Lewis's home Grand Prix again. So I'm really excited about this one.
I want him to win. I really want Lewis Hamilton to win, especially because this last year with Mercedes, like it was so nice watching him win his home Grand Prix and like Mercedes. So I'm like, this one would be amazing too.
Yes, he needs to win both of his home Grand Prix because he won Silverstone this year. So he needs to win Brazil too. Okay, so unless you have any final thoughts on race weekend, I was thinking we talking about things that the drivers did.
I think that's great because even though he's technically not an F1 driver, he is an F1 reserve driver. I want to talk about, I don't know if you saw, Pato being literally mobbed. Like, my man was fighting for his life, walking through his crowd for his meet and greet. Like, oh my God.
It would be really embarrassing if, say I was the CEO of IndyCar, and I said that we don't have a race in Mexico because Pato is not that popular. It would be hypothetically, it'd be really embarrassing if this was if this happened to me, just saying.
Just saying that I agree, and especially I love that everyone in his comments, his like in his fellow IndyCar drivers were like, Pato, who? Like, who is this man? Like, even when like this statement came out, the drivers were on his side. They were like, what you mean? He's not known. And I don't even think he knew just how known he was. And it is evident by when he came out there and he was like, his face, like you look at the pictures, you see his face, and he's like, I didn't expect this. And I don't even think Kit Kat expected that because I think they said the thing was like for 80 people. Like,
Yeah.
we were like, they had enough stuff for like 80 people. And I was like, girl, I was like, that mall, like three, four floors filled, like the outside, even when he was going in, there was like people waiting outside. And I was like, damn.
I absolutely love him. I feel like him and Kit Kat just did not comprehend that he is a Mexican driver, and we Mexicans are very dedicated.
Yes.
We know how to party. We know how to make people feel loved, obviously. So I don't know what was going on through their heads. Well, specifically Kit Kat, at least, to only have enough items for 80 people when they know how we are dedicated to this fan base.
No, literally, especially because Kit Kat also sponsors Checo, and I was like, did not see like the amount, the check, because I'm like, I love this. When Pato announced that he was gonna get sponsored by Kit Kat, I was like father, like son, he's just following in Checo's footsteps. Like, I loved that for him, because I'm like, girl, like it was crazy.
It really was. I'm just so happy that he was safe. The whole, because if I was in that position, well, then again, he's also taller than me because I'm tiny, quite literally 5 foot on the dot. So if I was in that position, I would have had an anxiety attack or a panic attack. One of the two, maybe both at the same time. We don't know. So I'm so glad that that didn't happen to him and he wasn't like claustrophobic or anything and he got out and he was safe. That's the most important part. But he definitely should consider security in the future if he does this.
Oh, he should, because I believe he just like literally this morning, like I kid you not, I saw his Instagram post. He is going to be driving with Formula E in Mexico in January. Like, he posted on his Instagram, and I was like, see, everyone else is noticing his potential to bring him to Mexico. So IndyCar, like the potential, like they see the potential this man. I love that for him, that he is getting like the love he deserves.
As he should, because he deserves it. I absolutely love Pato so much. And you got to meet him too.
Twice.
So,
I got to meet him twice.
twice.
And you're saying that, it made me think of like some comments of people who were in Mexico. They're like, oh, I've been here since 6 a.m. to meet this man. And I'm like, people are waiting since 6 a.m. to meet him? And I was like, why? And then I forget, because he's an IndyCar, and IndyCar does not drive in Mexico. They don't have the opportunity to see him in Mexico. And I forget that I am blessed and lucky that he's an IndyCar, and IndyCar drives in Long Beach, which is like a 15-minute drive for me. So I'm like, I want him to go to F1 so bad. Like, I want him to like get the like to level where he belongs and deserves. But also at the same time, I'm like, if he goes to F1, I'm never gonna be able to see him again. Like, I'm so selfish, because I'm like, I want him forever to be like in that level where I could meet him. It's like that relationship where I'm like, which is why I'm also excited that people are rumoring that Logan might go to IndyCar, because I'm like, I could see Logan.
Which I hope he does. I hope Logan does go to IndyCar because he absolutely deserves it and he will thrive in IndyCar.
I was like, I need more F1 drivers once they're done with F1 to go to IndyCar so I could see them selfishly. Selfishly. Because obviously you never want them to leave. I want them to like all be like Fernando Alonso, like 100 years in F1 and never leaving.
Know. Any other last minute thoughts?
On my end, no. I mentioned the two main things that I had.
Okay, well, last week I ended the episode with Oscar's new nickname. Guess what happened this weekend?
Someone else's nickname?
No. Oh, technically, yes. Oscar gave Lando a nickname this time.
I always miss this. Like, I need to.
Well, it's because I'm a McLaren fan, so I'm always on their social media pages, so that's where I like find everything. Anyways, Oscar's nickname for Lando, Landito.
Cute. I love that for them.
I know, and it's like the first time that Oscar gave Lando a nickname because it's always the other way around. Lando's always the one that gives Oscar a nickname. So I was really happy about that. I thought the nickname was so cute and I just loved them so much. Anyways, that's all I have to say. That's all.
So, yeah, that's all we had to talk about, guys. Our little, both of us kind of struggled with the Mexico GP, but it's okay. We're putting that behind us. We're moving on to Brazil. So stay tuned for next week when Brazil happens. But that's all we have for you guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.